All right. This lesson this morning was inspired by a question that was asked Wednesday night in our Bible study. Why did Lot? I mean, why did Abram take Lot with him when he got out of the land of Ur? I gave my opinion and did some research, and that's what we wanted to discuss this morning. And a lot of this is going, well, everything that I dug up on it, pretty much not everything, but most of it came from Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 12. So we start out with the question of why did Abram take Lot with him? And in my searching, to be truthful, I didn't find a specific reason as to why. The Bible didn't state a specific reason as to why Abram took Lot with him when he left. Now, I come up with three reasons of my own. And by the time we finish this lesson or this discussion, you may agree with it. You may come up with some of your own, or you may not. But if you find a specific area in the Bible that tells exactly why, anybody, please let me know. My first reason is it could have been that Abram assumed guardianship of Lot after Abram's father, Terah, died. Another reason I came up with is that Terah had initially taken Lot into his care after Lot's father, Haran, had died. And maybe Abram's kindness, being a blood relative, was concerned for Lot's well-being. And so that could very well have been a reason. And my third reason is, yet still, upon finding out that Abram, his wife, and all his servants was leaving Haran, Lot, being influenced by Abram's good example, wanted to go along with him too. And if that would be in the case, Abram probably couldn't bring himself to leave Lot behind if he wanted to go. Now, also in searching this, I came across in my Bible, I use the New King James Version, and they named Abram's brother Haran is spelled the same way as the land in which they was in, Haran. But in looking it up, because I went to online to try to see how you pronounce some of those words, because I couldn't pronounce them well, Haran is used as, in that case where I found it, was spelled in two R's, H-A-R-R. A-N, and it's pronounced Haran. And Abram's brother was named Haran, H-A-R-A-N. So that's where I picked it up off of the computer, so that's what I went with, so to be able to distinguish the difference between when you're saying Haran, you're only just thinking about the land, or you're thinking about Abram's brother. Now, like I said, all three of those reasons could be good reasons you may want to go with, you may agree with me with, and you may not. But anyway, I also realized I had to look back into a little of the history to try to get a better understanding of what went on. And so what I came up with was, to begin with, Terah, which was Abram's father, came from Noah's bloodline. We all know who Noah is, one that made the great ark. And through his son Shem, and in Genesis chapter 11, It was around about, I got here, around about the 24th verse. It gives that, the 24th verse gives that particular, lets you know particularly who Terah's father was. But the genealogy, it starts around about the 10th verse in chapter 11, and it goes all the way down, and it brings us to who begat who, until we get from Shem all the way down to who Terah's father was, Nahor. And it tells how he came to be. So, knowing that he came from Noah's bloodline, and looking at verse 24, we know that Nahor was Terah's father. And we also know that Terah was Abram's father. Now, interesting thing to know too was that Sarai and Abram were brother and sister. We find that in Genesis chapter 20, verse 12, where it states, "Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother." Right, or half sister. Mm-hmm. But once you're in the family, you're in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. The daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And interesting, I have here in those days, since people tended to spend their lives clustered together in family units, it was natural course to choose mates from within their own tribes and families. That was the custom. This is my belief that because from the time that the world first started and God gave his approval and told man how he's supposed to live and what he's supposed to do, they were supposed to keep the laws or keep God's word, and pretty much everybody in their family knew what they were supposed to do, knew the laws, knew how to live, knew what they were supposed to do. And it was more, I think, of an insult to marry somebody that didn't believe like you believe, because there was a custom. We know today, as they say, you shouldn't be unevenly yoked. And I'm going to tend to touch on that a little bit in some form or fashion this morning and in my lesson that's later on, though. But you'd rather have someone that believe what you believe and live like you live than to go get someone that don't believe the way you believe and don't live like you live. Yes.
I was just going to say that if you go forward to when Isaac needed a mate, mm-hmm. his father sent to family relatives,
yes.
to find a wife for Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a typical thing that happened back then.
Custom.
And that's amazing. I think most of it was, well, you got to go back to when God said, be fruitful.
Right.
And you know, fill the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't that many people there yet.
Right.
And like you said, they didn't want to go among people that didn't believe the same way as they did.
Mm-hmm.
So family relationships were nurtured in that way.
That's what I was believing. That was my train of thought also. Mm-hmm. It cut down on a whole lot of confusion, you know, and a whole lot of argument, you know. If we know we need to do this, then my wife and I are going to live this way. There'll be no problem, no discussion as to how we should live and how we should raise our kids, because we know where we're supposed to live. And if, which I think it causes a lot of problems today with some people in the raising of their children. If one man is raised one way and the wife is raised another way, somebody's a little bit more lenient or somebody's a little bit more stricter than the other, and it can cause a problem. Well, I don't think you should do that, or you should treat them like that, or you should say that. Well, it was good enough for me, it's good enough for them. Mm-hmm. And there we have a problem where the child is caught in the middle. Because when that child grows up, which side do they lean toward? I'm not saying which side is right or wrong, but which side do they lean toward? They may favor the mother or the father, whoever's more lenient, I'm sure they're going to lean to that side because they let them have their way more. But in the end, it may cause them more heartache than if they had been a little bit more stricter. But that was my basics, my understanding of my train of thought from reading that. And I think if God's purpose, if you were following his will, that wouldn't have been an issue as to what who you were with, because your bloodline would have been pure, more so than today, which I don't even know that you have such a thing as a pure bloodline, because things have been mixed in so much and trickled down through so many years that wherever you thought you may have come from, you don't know what you may have in your closet, so to speak. So, but you know, if it was all that great, then Jesus wouldn't have never had to come here to earth in the first place. But I digress. Get back to the lesson. But thank you. Good comment. Did you have a comment?
I'm going to say, back in the days of Noah, there's no such thing as online dating.
That's true.
And so, also, a lot of the marriages were prearranged.
Thank you, yes.
And so, what we have, and it's still true today, that you learn to love. You learn to love your mate.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the guidance provided in Scripture. And that's the key. It's far too many, and I was at fault too of the young man. I didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way to do better, and it's in Scripture. And of course, the only way that's going to help you if you read it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, reading is just a part of it. Then after that, you got to do it.
Yes.
And again, it's all because you want to please the Lord ultimately, and that those who think that they know it all. We know God does not approve of haughty attitudes or mindsets. God will come humble one way or the other.
Yes, he will. Yep. I'm glad you brought that point up, too, about prearranged unions. That was also, I believe, to make sure that they kept purity and the bloodline, but maybe not so much the bloodline, but the tradition of how you raise, how you live, how you supposed to act, how you supposed to carry yourself. And I know that if my daughter's husband comes from this family, that's a good family. Or my son's wife comes from this family, that's a good family. I don't have to worry about them doing anything that's going to be outlandish or anything that's going to be ridiculous or crazy or foolish. They're going to live or carry themselves by the right way. And I think over time, as I said, things change. Then they start leaning more toward material things. Who has the most land? This marriage is going to be arranged because we need to come together because you got more people, more your more, a bigger army, or you got this riches in this land that we need. You got all this rice over here. Yeah, we need you and our family because we know we will never go hungry, you know. Something of that nature, more so, but it was never based on the love aspect of caring. And like you said, you learn to love. Yes.
I was also going to mention twice humanity stood at the beginning with Adam and Eve, and then after the flood with Noah. Mm-hmm. There was only a few survivors. There were no other people
right.
that they could go to get a mate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had to stay within the family. So, and it was blessed by God.
Right.
But, and I think it trickled down all the way down to when Abraham was still there. But mm-hmm. the more people were in the world, the more, for better word, choices they had.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, yeah. And I mean, nowadays, brother and sister marriages is not even approved anymore.
Right.
Okay. Because of what we call incest today.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't a problem back then because right. it was under God's care.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm laughing because when you were saying that, it made me think about, and y'all ladies probably know more about this than I do, but your flowers, when you get a flower and you say, oh, I want a piece of that, I want a piece of that, because you know that that's where that flower came from. Whatever you grow is going to come from that flower that mm-hmm. you got. So if it came from this one and this one looked this good, you know yours going to look almost as good as that one, if not. But you know where it comes from. I don't know the names of all the different flowers, but if you got a piece of this hosta, you know it's not going to come looking like a rose bush, you know. So, and the other names are hydrangeas, them about the only three that I do know. But anyway, you get my drift. You know, you get a piece of that flower, and you keep getting a piece of it because you know from where it came. Same way in the family. Is what you were
so
saying.
We all came from Adam and Eve, right?
Yeah.
So we all related.
And we should supposed to look and act like because
exactly.
that was in the image of God. Which
exactly.
way it's supposed to go back to. But when you start adding everything else in, I don't know what you had to come up with. Okay. Another interesting point. Terah and his family lived in Ur, in the land of the Chaldees, which was located in the area now known as Iraq. I thought that was interesting. They were idol worshippers in a pagan world. We get that from Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods." Yeah, this is a good point of what we're talking about. The world had progressed to the point where the people were worshiping other gods, but knowing where your family comes from, they only worship the one God. So that's who you would want your offspring to come together and do the same thing, worship the one God. Knowing here that even though Terah came from Noah, he still ended up worshiping many gods, being an idol worshiper. Not only him, and it also states that in the genealogy that Terah had Abram, Haran, and he also named the son Nahor. Could have been after what his father's name was, but nevertheless, he had three sons. And he instructed all three of them, or raised them, to be idol worshipers too. Idol worshipers. If they all have been worshiping the one God like Noah, then God would have never had to say anything to Abram in the first place. But as time progressed, they fell under that, and they thought that they were doing okay. They thought they were doing the right thing. And everybody else was doing it. So, hey, it must be okay. Haran, Lot's father, died in Ur of the Chaldeans. But we can find that in Genesis chapter 11, verse 28. He lost his son while he yet still lived. It had been a terrible blow to have to put away his child. But we do know that as life goes on and in our day and time, that happens. And we all know that we are not here to stay, and we're going to leave here, each one of us, at some point in life, whether it be before our children, after our children. In some instances, it could be, depending on which way life plays out, it may be at the same time as the children. That has happened. Tragic things have happened. Tsunamis, earthquakes, floods, simple thing as car accident. It happens. We have no control. We also see that in Genesis chapter 11, from verse 31 and 32, that after Haran's death, Terah decided to uproot his family, and they were going to make the trip to Canaan. And in that progress, they didn't ever make it quite. They didn't quite make it there. They stopped in Haran. And in Haran was where Terah died. Now, the Bible didn't tell or give a specific reason as to why they didn't make it, but that was their intention, was to go to Canaan. Could have been the fact that Terah decided that, okay, enough of this life. After the loss of his son, he decided he wanted to just get away from this place because he carried too many memories, and he was going to go somewhere else, and he figured it might have been a better life for his other two sons and the rest of his family if they went to Canaan. It may have been a bigger place, may have had more to offer. We don't know the reason. We don't know why he didn't make it. But he didn't make it that far, and he died in Haran. And it was here that after Terah's death, which is in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, that God spoke to Abram and told him to get out of your country, leave your family, and go to the land which I will show you. God didn't tell him where he was going to take him to. He just told him to obey him and follow him, and he would show him where to go. So, now after taking a quick peek back into time, you may come up with some reason as to why Abram took Lot with him. Yes?
Well, it also could be maybe because his father didn't stay with the course, and he ended up going to a land where there were false gods, and maybe Lot didn't. So maybe he went with Abram because...
Okay, said it one more time.
Maybe Lot was following the Lord's will, and Abram's father, Terah, didn't.
Okay, but at this point, Terah was dead. Terah had passed. And Haran, when they were on their way to Canaan after Terah's son, Haran, which is Lot's father, after Lot's father died, he left Ur to go to Canaan. And he took Lot with him, along with Abram and Nahor. He took the whole family.
That's what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. But they didn't make it to Canaan. They stopped in Haran. And at that point, Terah died. And I think what you said, maybe agreeing with one of my reasons, that Lot said, okay, well, I'm your blood relative, come on, go with me. Or Lot said, well, if you're leaving, I'm leaving too. You know, the Bible didn't make mention of this, but I thought it was interesting that I think Nahor was still in Haran, or Haran, if I'm saying it right. Nahor was still there, I think. Could have been, Nahor was still living that life that they left back in Ur. You know, he may have been still worshiping many gods or idol worshippers, you know. He could have been living comfortable there. And maybe that's why God told Abram, leave your family, get out of that country, go to a land where I'm going to take you to, you know. Yes.
It's kind of funny that they left and they were living in Haran, but is there any connection between where they were living and the son of Terah, that he, you know, he was the father of, he was the father of Lot. He died. But he has the same name as the place they stayed.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how that happens. Coincidence?
I think it is, but it's pronounced, his Lot's father's name was Haran. The name of the place was Haran. It's a play on the accent and
the
right. That's the thing. In
English, it is.
Huh?
In English, it is. It might be spelled differently in Hebrew.
When I looked it up for the pronunciation, it was Haran was spelled with two R's. That was the name of the place, Haran, H-A-R-R-A-N. But Lot's father's name was Haran. Was, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Haran, and that's one R, H-A-R-A-N. I think it could have been coincidence, the same way as Terah had a son named Nahor, and his father's name was Nahor. Well, we do that nowadays too, you know, but we call them juniors and the first and juniors and the second and the third and the fourth, you know. But in that time, they just named them the same names, spelled the same way, same pronunciation. And it can be a little bit confusing, not to mention just trying to pronounce some of the names itself. Of course, in that time, that was natural. Just like Wesley. It's natural, but you don't hear too many people named Wesley, you know. But it's still a natural name, more so than Abimelech. You know, I think I'd rather wear Wesley than Abimelech. Yes.
Some of the comments that I've looked up about Abraham and why he took Lot,
mm-hmm.
Do we know how old Lot was? Was he still a very young man? Because most of the comments I come up with says that that's an example of Abraham's compassion and responsibility for his nephew.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering how young Lot really was that Abraham felt responsible for him, maybe.
We don't know. I haven't seen a spot in.
I don't think I've read anywhere either how
right.
old he was. Or because Abraham also made sure that he would prosper as they traveled along, you know, with their herds and all. And then at a certain point where Abraham felt he could stand on his own, he said, we need to separate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if he was just a very, very young man back then when Abraham, and that's the reason why Abraham took him with him. He felt responsible.
I'm sure he was young, but I also think, my opinion, I think that he was right at that cusp of the age of becoming I guess you would say legally grown.
Uh-huh, a man.
And yeah, and but not quite. I mean, he still could make some foolish mistakes.
Yeah.
I also feel like because the fact that once his father died, he inherited whatever his father had. And then maybe how he started out with having livestock, maybe some slaves also, you know. But he still was enclosed within the family.
Yeah.
Because even his grandfather took him under his wing first after his father died. And he could have, you know, like today we have children that when their parents die and they leave them something that's put in a trust fund, the child may be 18, mm-hmm. but it could be stipulated in the trust fund that they don't get it until they are 25, mm-hmm. because whoever left the form felt like by the time they get 25, they should have the mental thinking enough to be able to handle what was left them. But still they're 18 and they know what they have, so they know that they got something, but it's in a trust fund and someone else in the family is watching out for them because they don't want them to just take it and go, oh, I'm going to go party this up and have a good time. You know,
thinking about this though, when you go further up ahead in history, when the Lord is with Abraham and talking about that he will destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham asked, if there's so many faithful people, will you still destroy it? He, in my mind now, I'm thinking, after we're going through all of this, was he thinking about Lot? Because he knew Lot was in those cities.
Mm-hmm.
And he warning came to Lot too that you need to get out of there because the Lord's going to destroy that.
Mm-hmm.
So telling me that Abraham kept an eye on Lot that whole time.
Yeah, he
is
did.
What I'm thinking.
He did. I'm going to touch on that a little bit today in my lesson further, but thinking along those lines, yes, he did. And again, like I said, that a child could be 18, know what they have. I can't wait till I get 25. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that because I'm, you know. But they're not looking past that 25-year mark. All they're looking at is when I get 25, I'm going to have this amount of money. I can go and do what I want to do and can't nobody stop me. Can't nobody check. What about when you get 26, 27, 28, 30, 35? What are you going to do? How are you going to live? What are you going to do for yourself? How are you going to establish? Use this to establish yourself where you'll be able to take care of yourself. You don't have to ask nobody for nothing.
Yeah.
All they think about is, I'm going to go party, party, party. You know, that's why whoever left it to him kept it. And that's probably why Abram was watching out for him, like his father, I mean his grandfather, was watching out for him right after his father's
died. Yeah.
He knew he was vulnerable at that particular time because his father just died. And he didn't want him to do nothing foolish, so you got all this, but you still live with me. I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah, it's like Abraham was taking care of him like he was his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a close member of his family.
Yeah. Yes, you got a comment?
Well, 12 verse 4 says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. That's all we know.
That's all we know.
I hear a lot of maybe this, I think that, I feel this. Well, this book says that, you know, the internet research I did said that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
No, we don't.
And so it's kind of futile, you know, in my mind to be guessing because we don't know. And if it was necessary for us to know, it would be in here.
Okay. I agree with you. But it still doesn't hurt to ask a question and think about it because, as I touched on it in my lesson today, there's something else behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you still got that same thought after my lesson today, not that it's going to be so great, but hopefully, hopefully it's going to still come out the way the Lord wants to come out. But it still may be irrelevant. But sometimes when we know the story behind stuff, and it may not have nothing to do with it, it helps us in the realizing that we can look out for things that in life that we face because of what we see already happen to someone else, you know. And that's the purpose of it, maybe, that it's not for us, you know, it's not, how they say, it's not pertinent to your salvation, but it's a good thing to know because you don't want to do the same thing or fall into a trap that way, possibly, and maybe not. Yes?
I was thinking that here in 12 verse 1, God was talking to Abram. He had a plan for him to make him a great nation. And he said, leave your country, your people.
Mm-hmm.
That includes Lot. Leave your people.
Yeah.
And your father's household and go to the land I'm going to show you. So he takes off, and guess who's tagging along? It's Lot. And
yeah.
Four, like Lynette said. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, but he's not going to make Lot very big. And sure enough, the very next chapter, what happens? They get too big. God makes a way for them to be separated, and he's out of the picture now, so he can concentrate on Abram to go on and do his work. So that's cool to know.
But he's not. But he's not out of the picture.
No. Out of the picture as far as separating.
Going
where he needed to go.
That problem is solved.
He's going. He didn't have to be responsible for Lot anymore after that. Until later, he feels he needs to take care of them when mm-hmm. Lot, when he. Sodom and Gomorrah turned back. Yes, I know that.
Okay.
But right here, when Anne was asking why did he go with him, he probably just wanted a better life because Abram had it all together. He had God. He had this blessing. He had direction. He had, you know, and he probably wanted a piece of that pie. So, but anyway, so now we know.
Okay. Lynette, one more thing back to you. She touched on it. Most of the time, when you do stuff that is against what God said, there's a price to pay, right?
Right.
And you know, you said, well, it doesn't say why, so it's not important. It didn't say that God punished them either.
I didn't say it wasn't important. I said.
We don't know, so it's, okay. Well, I misunderstood. I twisted it. I'm sorry. But that's gonna. Hopefully, I'm gonna touch on that a little bit later, and maybe it'll clarify things a little bit better. Chuck.
Well, talking about this subject, and so you probably remember this, where it was stated, 1 John 1:46, Nazareth. Can anything good come from there?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And so again, it was during that time. It's kind of like today when you talk about cities of today, you know, like Memphis or some of the large cities. Like back then, they had their cities that had issues too. I guess so. They mentioned Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You see what I'm saying? And so that still happens today. And so here, with Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, there's no doubt in my mind that Abraham knew that that was a place not to go to, and that he would not purposely frequent there. Like, there are cities in this country that I will not go to, especially at night. We learned the hard way to not go there. And so, he's well aware. I have a relative over there. Same like I have relatives in places I wish they weren't there, but they're there. And so, here, when Abraham is confronted with the angel, of course he's going to show concern. You know, what the event? So you know the whole discourse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's concerned about, of course, the relative. He would, of course, a man of God would be.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we would be concerned. And so, of course, we know that thanks be to God, God sent the angel to take him up. And so we're grateful for that. And we see the bigger lesson is that God is compassionate. God will provide a way. If all we will do is heed the warning and heed the warning and follow completely. Unlike even in the discourse of the saving, Lot's wife did what?
She turned to pull us up.
And again.
Got destroyed.
Well, even the angels had to like drag Lot out of the house.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so let's go.
You know, he was reluctant
to even go. He was. We all have the choices to make. You know, that's each and every one of us. We got the choice. Even when we know what God said, we know what we're supposed to do. He still gives us the freedom of choice, because he doesn't make anybody do anything. You know, so. Sometimes we live long enough to realize, I should have done that. And we try to repent. We go to God and repent. Sometimes we don't get a chance to. We get so caught up in what we wanted in our choice that we have to suffer consequences. As the old saying goes, you make your bed hard, you got to lay in it. Sometimes we have to suffer consequences. God doesn't want no one to perish, but he's not going to twist your arm to make you do what he wants you to do. So he gives us all free choice. So hopefully, and looking into this a little closer, a little deeper, as I started out saying, I didn't find a reason, and where the Bible says anyway, of why he took him. But we do know that he took him. And it may, we know that he did. And we also know now by reading further in scripture a lot of stuff that happened afterward. But the fact still remains that he went with him. So we don't know why, but we know, but from knowing the history, it gives us a reason, and there may be some good reasons. I thought it was some pretty good reasons as to why he did it. I may would have done the same thing, pretty much. My family, if you wanted to go, and besides, God didn't say, don't take nobody with you, which I'm getting into my lesson for this morning, so. But, yes.
That's why he was taking care of him a lot because of his knowledge. At 75, you have a lot of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Are you 75 years old? I'm 80.
Well, I still stick with the reasoning that he basically took him because being concerned for his family. He was a family member. And the fact that God did not say, don't take nobody with you. He did say, go and follow me. Do what I said. He didn't say, don't take nobody with you. So that gave him a leeway to do that, being concerned for his family. And as we read further in scripture, we know that he kept that concern, even to the point of, as the sister said, to the point of them being in Sodom and Gomorrah. He still was concerned. As we all are, we're going to always be concerned about our family, you know. So that's my lesson for this morning. I hope it kind of shed a little light on that question, and hope it didn't confuse you no more so than you were at first. God bless you.